I love preachers and I love the ministry. I was raised in a pastor's home. My mom and dad moved to Ada, the little town of Ada, from Oklahoma City in 1954. My dad received the call to preach when he was just a pup, being raised up in Free Holiness and Church of God movements in Oklahoma City. And his mother was also a Pentecostal preacher, so I'm about third generation, something like that. And I'll never forget the story my daddy told me when he was 19 years old. He was not really serving the Lord like he should have been. He wasn't that ornery, but he wasn't necessarily yielded to the call either. And so he's driving his big old car. You remember those big old boats we used to drive? He was driving a big old boat down the streets of Oklahoma City, 19 years of age. And a little boy ran out in front of him, Ron. A little kid in the neighborhood ran out in front of my dad. And before dad could stop the car, he'd hit the little boy. And the little boy spun and was thrown to the ground, and dad stopped the car, ran out of the car, ran to the little boy, and it looks like, for all appearances, the little boy's lifeless. He's just, there's no movement, there's no breath. And so people began to gather around in that neighborhood, and people came, and adults came, and kids came, and before you know it, there's this crowd, and my dad's 19 years old. He's running from God. And so he's been raised better, and he knows what to do, so he throws himself on the hood of that big old car. He throws himself on the hood of that car and he cries out to God. And he says, oh God, what do I do? What do I do? I'm so sorry. God, if you'll raise this boy up, God, if you'll raise this boy up and don't let him die, I'll serve you. I'll do what you call me to do, Lord. I'll preach, whatever I do. God, just don't let the little guy die. Go, God, just don't let the little guy die. He looks over and the little boy gets up. And the little boy goes on about his business. I don't think they ever took the little boy to the hospital. So that was the beginning of my dad's ministry. About three weeks later, he received the Holy Spirit baptism and started preaching. Never looked back. Dad preached all those years until he's homegoing at age 66. But he came to Ada in 1954, a little independent group that had come out of the Assemblies of God and incorporated in 1952. Imagine that, as an independent church, almost unheard of in Ada, Oklahoma, or anywhere. And they called my dad because they preached a revival for him. And they said, we're between pastors. We don't have a pastor. Church is kind of splintered and fragmented, and we need a pastor. Would you come be our pastor? And dad's like 19, 20, well, I don't know, a little older than that, I guess, by that time. 1954, he would be 21. And he said, well, let me pray. So he fasted and prayed. How many believe fasting and prayer still works? And so he fasted and prayed for 3 weeks or so. And at the end of that time, the Lord spoke to him and said, you need to go to Ada. So he packed up my mom and my older sister, who was about 6 months old, and they put everything they owned in the back of their car. And they moved from Oklahoma City to Ada, Oklahoma, and began to pastor evangelistic temple. And that began a 43-year ministry in one church in one city. So I'm a product of the local church. I love the local church. I believe the church is the bride of Christ, and we need to love the church. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You know, there's a real popular kind of thing going around nowadays. People don't like the church, and they'll say something like this. They'll say, well, I love God, but I hate the church. Or, I love Jesus, but I just don't care for the church. Well, I think I know what they're saying. I'm trying to my best to relate to that mentality. And I think what they're trying to say is, I don't like the politics and the hypocrisy that maybe I've seen in a local church by self-righteous people or something. Or maybe they're saying it's the organizational stuff and the hierarchy and the bureaucracy and all that. That's what I don't like. But what we've got to be careful in saying and doing is we've got to realize that Jesus died for the church. And Jesus is coming back for the church. Church, and Jesus shed his blood for the church, and the church is his bride, and the church is his body, and you and I are his church. Can you say amen? And so while I understand what those folks are saying, we need to be really careful, because my wife Glenda and I, we've been together for 36 years of marital bliss. I'm telling you, 36 years we've been married. That's the 34 happiest years of my life. I want you to know. I'm teasing. But you can't say, I like Mickey, but I don't like Glenda. You can't say, well, I love you, Brother Mickey, but I just don't like your wife. Let me tell you, those are fighting words, friend. And I believe Jesus feels that way about his bride. Are you glad you're part of his bride tonight? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. See, the church is not buses or buildings or, 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 those kinds of things. It's not budgets. And it's a body. The church is a body. We're the church. In a few moments, after I'm through preaching my two-hour sermon, we're going to leave this building and get in our cars and go back to our homes. They're going to turn out the lights and turn off the air conditioning, and the church will go home because we are the church. Jesus loves His church, and I love His church. I love pastors. Love to be around pastors. All my life I've been around pastors. Been ordained in this group since 1980. And what a joy it is to serve and to assist and to help. And we just want to add value to your ministry. We just want to come alongside and help you. We're not interested in owning property. Hallelujah. We don't want you to send your tithe to headquarters. Hallelujah. We just want to bring value to you and to assist you and come alongside and lift your hands if that's all right. That's what we're called to do. And together we're working and doing something wonderful for God. And we thank the Lord for every one of you. Amen. Amen. I tell you, I heard of a young pastor the other day, just getting his start, preaching his first funeral service at a graveside, and he it was a country cemetery, and he didn't know his way around very well, so he took off and he got lost, and he drove and he drove and he drove, and he's an hour late. And you know what, men, when we get lost, we just keep driving. There's a woman with us to stop and ask for directions, but we're going to keep going. And so he drove and he drove and he drove. And finally he pulls up to the site. He believes this is it. Yes, this has got to be it. And there's some men with shovels, and there's a machine there, and it looks like an open grave. And he runs up with his little Bible, and he's by this time he's an hour late. And the men have stopped for lunch. They're having their lunch. And so he says, I've got to do my best for this person. I just can't do anything less than my best. This is my first funeral ever. So he grabs his Bible and he stands at the edge of the hole, and he looks down. Sure enough, he sees something down there in that hole, and those men are watching him, and he opens his Bible and he begins to preach. Roger, he preaches about the resurrection. He preaches about the blood. And he preaches about Calvary. And he preaches about the resurrection of the righteous dead. And he preaches. And by this time, the guys have put their shovels down and put their lunch down, taking their hats off, and they're walking over and listening to him. And they're gathered around this hole, and they're listening to this preacher. And he is preaching. And by this time, he started to feel a little anointed. And he's giving it what he's got. And then he ends it with the Lord's Prayer. And they all pull their hats off, and they all pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." And they pray that prayer. And then the gentleman shakes hands with each of those men, and he goes back, that young preacher, he goes back and gets in his car, and he takes off. And one of the workers says to the other guys, he says, "You know, I ain't never seen nothing like that in my life." And he said, "And I've been putting in septic tanks for 25 years. Well, come on. We've all done something like that before at one time or another. Wow. Oh, hallelujah. Laughter does good like a medicine, doesn't it? But a dry spirit, a dry spirit will break the bones. I'm telling you, you want to get bitter and broken, you live with a dry spirit. But hang around me a while, we're going to laugh some. Is that right? I'm so glad to have my friends with me tonight from Ada, the couple, precious couple we've come to know and love in the last few weeks. And they've joined our church in Ada. And Huey and Terry Long, you met a moment ago when Huey introduced himself and his lovely wife, Terry. But they're missionary evangelists, and God's using them in a tremendous way. And I'm just honored to have them with me tonight, and this is actually their second Independent Assemblies fellowship meeting. They haven't been with us very long, but they're more active and more faithful than some of y'all, so hey man. But we love these guys, and so Huey, wave at us so everybody knows who Huey and Terry are. Precious people, we love them very, very much, and so get acquainted with them. You've already made them feel very welcome and at home, and I do appreciate that greatly. Thank the Lord for that. I want to just take a few moments and talk about a celebration of Pentecost tonight, because last time I checked, we were a little bit Pentecostal. The last time I checked, we believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and we believe in the gift of tongues and the wonderful gifts of the Spirit. We believe in divine healing, and that is so unique, and that is so special, and that sets us apart from so many different groups. And so I'm very, very thankful for this movement that I'm a part of. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 16 to his disciples at that wonderful Last Supper, "I will pray to the Father, and he will give you," everybody say it with me, "another comforter." Another comforter, one who's just as well equipped to comfort you and minister to you as I have been. And then he went on to say that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, he calls him the Spirit of Truth. He is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, for it doesn't see him, neither knows him. You know him. How many of you know the Holy Spirit tonight? You have a relationship with him. He lives with you, and Jesus said he will be in you. It's one thing for him to be with us, but thank God, after Pentecost, he's now in us. Can somebody say amen to that? Verse 25, Jesus said, I have said these things to you while still living with you, but the Counselor, verse 26, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send. He calls him the Comforter and the Counselor. He says, this is the Holy Spirit. The Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your memory all that I have said to you. And then finally, verse number 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace. Everybody say, my peace. My peace I give unto you. And then he says, it's peace not as the world gives, but as only I can give. And then he says, do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful. The world has attempted to bring us peace. Some people find peace in a bottle. They find peace in something they can roll up in a paper and smoke. They find peace in some pills that a doctor prescribes to them. But that peace is only a temporary peace. That peace is only there for a short period of time. And guess what? Tomorrow the problems are still there. Guess what? When the high is gone, the buzz is left, the issue still remains. But Jesus promised to his disciples, his followers, his believers, a peace that is eternal peace. It is a peace that is a gift of God. It is a peace that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's produced by the Spirit of God on the inside of us. When Paul was speaking to us and writing to the Galatian church and speaking to the church at Galatia, he said that the work of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the Amplified says the work which His presence within accomplishes in us is love and it's joy and it's peace. In the Greek, that's eirene, and it means an absence of turmoil. In the midst of turmoil, you can experience an absence of turmoil because the peace of God is a real thing. Can someone say amen to that? It's not temporary. It's not fleeting. It is eternal. It's not conditional upon our circumstances. It's not like happiness that is contingent upon our happenstance, the old English word. But it is something that God gives by the Spirit. He gives us His peace. And He said to His disciples in His parting words, some of the last words Jesus spoke before He went to the cross, is He says, I want to give you my peace. And tonight, God offers His peace to every believer because of the Holy Spirit's work in us. Somebody say amen. Amen. So Jesus promises us His peace. You know, interestingly, on July the 4th, 1776, members of the Continental Congress met together in Philadelphia. They signed a document called the Declaration of Independence. With this action, the American Revolution was launched, a new nation was born. It's so ironic that on that very day, George III, King of England, made this entry in his diary, and I quote, "Nothing of any importance happened today." Nothing of anything of any importance. July 4th, 1776, the white-wigged king is sitting over there on his throne, and he says in the diary, nothing important happened today. But I want you to know, on the day of Pentecost, in the year AD 30, about 120 believers got together, followers of a man named Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They gathered themselves in a city called Jerusalem. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly, the Spirit of God filled each one of them and marked them with tongues of fire, and on that day the church was born, and on that day no historian of any time saw anything significant in that event, but you and I are here today, and we're full of that Spirit, and we're preaching the gospel, and we're seeing the gospel of Christ carried to the ends of the earth because of what happened on Pentecost. Those 120 disciples were just a handful of rather ordinary men and women like yourselves, like I, just a few fishermen, couple of housewives, a former tax collector, a few farmers, some servant girls. Yet through these ordinary people, God built a church which has lasted now for over 2,000 years. Jesus told His disciples in Matthew chapter number 16, He said to His disciples, asking a question. The backdrop you have to understand on this conversation and this discourse was the city of Caesarea Philippi, which was such an evil area, they called it literally the gates of hell. hell. And Jesus is standing with that as a backdrop. And he asks his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What's the word on the street about me? What are people saying about me? One disciple said, well, some say that you're Elijah, risen from the dead. Some say that you're Jeremiah. Some say that you're some other prophet. And so he asked the question of the ages. And he asked this question to you and I today, 2,000 years later. Whom do you say that I am? What is your opinion of me? You see, my friend, that's what distinguishes our faith from any other faith on this planet, is what we say about Jesus Christ. That's what marks a cult from true Christianity, is what will you do with Jesus? Is he just merely a philosopher? Is he merely a philanthropist? Is he just a nice guy? Is he just a prophetic kind of a guy? Was he just a moral leader and teacher and a guy that gave nice things to people? Or is he the Son of God? Is he the Son of the living God who lives forevermore? You see, that's what distinguishes who our Christ is. And those disciples, they weren't sure, but Peter stood up. You know, I love Peter. Peter was this impetuous guy, this loud-mouthed fisherman, rough and crude around the edges. If something needed to be said, Peter would say it. If something didn't need to be said, Peter would say it. You know? How many of you can relate to Peter? Come on. Do I have any Peters out there? And Peter said, you know, thou art the Christ. You're the anointed one. You're the Son of the living God. And then probably grabbed his mouth like, wow, where did that come from? Because Jesus said, you're blessed, Simon. Bar-Jonah, Simon, son of Jonah. Listen, that is an absolute divine revelation. That didn't come from you. That didn't come from flesh understanding. You didn't learn that in school. You never studied that. That God is speaking to you and through you at this moment. That's exactly who I am. I am the Christ. I am the Son of the living God. And upon that revelation, not upon the rock of Peter. That Greek word is Petros, which means just a pebble, just a piece of the rock. It's masculine in gender. But Jesus called him a rock. Yes, but then he said, upon this rock, this Petra, this immovable rock, this feminine gender word, totally different word than Peter. Let's don't go building the church on Peter. Are you with me there? But he said, upon this rock, what rock, Jesus? Upon the rock of revelation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon that rock, I'm going to build my church. And baby, listen, the gates of hell are not going to prevail against this church that I'm building. Can you say amen? 2,000 years later, men have tried to stamp it out. They've tried to put us aside. They've sawn us asunder. They've put us in burlap bags and cast us into the river. They burn our homes. They're still burning our homes in Nigeria. They're still throwing us in prison. They're still coming against us in Indonesia and the Philippines. Across the world, around the world, there's greater martyrdom among Christians today than there's ever been. But I've got good news for you. Every time the church is persecuted, every time somebody comes against believers, every time a church is burned down, every time a pastor's thrown in prison, it only strengthens the faith of the true believers. It only says to you and I, we're doing a good work. We're following the Christ. We're doing what God's called us to do. Listen, the devil can't stamp out the church. The gates of hell cannot withstand the church of the living Jesus Christ. Somebody shout amen in this house. See, I don't know if you realize it today or not, but today is 50 days after the Easter celebration we just celebrated. If I get my facts correct, this is somewhere around the Feast of Pentecost, which was about 50 days after the Feast of Passover. If I get my dates correct, this is the day, this is the time, this is the hour. We need to be celebrating the birthday of the church when Jesus established his church and the Holy Spirit came in power and she came in beauty and he came in might and he came in fire and he came in tongues. Let me tell you something. This church wasn't decided in some crusty, dusty old office somewhere, some smoke-filled back room. Bunch of old fuddy-duddies got together and said, let's start the church. No, I want you to know, the church came in power. The church came in demonstration of Holy Spirit's power and anointing. And we're still there today. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, I'm ready to start preaching now, my Lord. I've preached my glasses off my head. Hallelujah, here they are. You know, one of these days we won't be needing these anymore. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. See, we got a 6-foot head start on them, so they got to rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. I said we shall be caught up to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So I'm going to leave these little peeper creepers behind, and you're going to leave the false ones in your mouth. Hallelujah. The hearing aids. Come on, somebody. The braces, the crutches, The wheelchairs? The pacemakers? We're going to leave them on the pew. And Jesus is coming back again. Amen. So nothing of any importance happened today. King George. Duh. Just a simple group of 120 disciples. Yet through these ordinary people, God built a church which has now lasted for over 2,000 years. In less than 300 years after the day of Pentecost, this small, insignificant little group of Jews became the official religion of the entire Roman Empire. And today, the Church of Jesus Christ circles the globe and numbers over 1 billion members. We are the fastest growing religion by conversion. Now you look at the Muslim faith, you say, oh, they're growing faster than Christianity. You know, Muslims are growing faster. Yeah, they are, because they're having babies. And you're born a Muslim. But we realize that little Christian babies are not born Christian. They have to become Christians. Are you with me? And the last time I checked, we don't force anyone to become Christians at the edge of a gun or the edge of a sword either. But I'm telling you, friend, around the world, Christianity is moving and booming and growing, and we're on the right track. Somebody say amen to that. How did they do it? How did 120 followers in the year 30 AD, on the day we call Pentecost, what happened in their life? I'll tell you something. They came in contact with God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. For many Christians, the events of Pentecost, the events of God's Spirit coming to the earth, is like what King George said on that day of the Declaration of Independence was signed. Nothing of any importance has happened today. And that's the way a lot of believers will look at that. But today, or this weekend, is Pentecost, one of the four major festivals of the church year. Today we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit into the lives of men and women. It's the birthday of the church, you could say. But if you didn't make it to church this weekend, or you didn't look at a church calendar, you may not have even known this huge event just transpired. Today is just as important, however, as Christmas or Easter, but this holiday in the church year goes by almost unnoticed. And why is that? Why is that? Maybe it's because we don't understand exactly what happened on this day. Maybe because talk about the Spirit is not as sweet as talk about a baby born in a manger and angels singing in the heavens and gifts being passed about and shepherds tending to the flocks on quiet hillsides. Maybe Pentecost doesn't get the attention or the pub because we haven't found a way to commercialize it. But I got news for you. This day is extremely important in the life of the church, and it is important in our lives. The Spirit of God is not something we should fear or ignore, but He is the third person of the Trinity. He is actively carrying out God's purposes in and through His church. He was moving over the face of the earth when God created this world in which we live. His presence came upon Mary, causing the Word to become flesh in the form of a baby born in a manger in Bethlehem. He empowered Jesus, who walked the earth for 33 years, teaching and healing and proclaiming the love of God and the gospel of the kingdom to all people. And today, He is that same Spirit, and He's working through His people, the church, and He's working through ministers, and He's working through Raymond, and He's bringing this love into the brokenness of this world. It's the Spirit of God that is working in these last days. And the source of the Holy Spirit is God Almighty. We believe in God the Father, the song said. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that God the Father is the one who creates, and God the Son is the one who redeems, and God the Holy Spirit. Did you hear what I said? I said God the Holy Spirit. Just as divine as Jesus, just as holy as the Father, God the Holy Spirit is the one who gathers and calls and enlightens and sanctifies and makes His people holy. And if you and I will open our hearts and open our ministries and open our minds and to what the Spirit of God wants to do with us. Listen, if we'll give Him a place on our stage, if we'll give Him a place in our platform, if we'll give Him a place in our preaching, if we'll give Him a place in our boardrooms, if we'll say, Holy Spirit, come and guide me. He wants to guide. He wants to counsel. He wants to direct you. Jesus said He's the Spirit of truth, and He will guide you into all truth and to bring all things to your remembrance that I've spoken to you. And if you'll allow Him to have that leeway, if you'll allow Him to come into your life, He'll do tremendous things in and through you and for you in Jesus' name. But He's a gentleman. I tell you what, if there's anything I've discovered about the Holy Spirit in all these years, it's that He is a gentleman. He will not force His way into your life. He'll not force his will upon you. As a matter of fact, you always find him in the script. He's always behind Christ. He's always exalting Jesus. He's always lifting the Messiah up. He's always lifting up the Christ. In fact, you have to kind of look through things to find him. But trust me when I say to you, he's always been there. He was there with God the Father and God the Son in creation. And he's moving and he's working in the earth today. And he's doing tremendous things. We need to celebrate the fact that he has come to this earth to empower believers. Jesus said, listen, he's been with you all along, but now he's going to be in you. And I've been limited by time and space. I've been limited in this earthly body in this 33-year journey. And there have been places I can't go. And there's people I have not been able to reach. And there's things that need to be accomplished and done. And now it is necessary. It is imperative. It is expedient that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, he's going to come to you. And when he comes, you're going to feel his power. You're going to experience his life. You're going to know that his blessing and his anointing is upon you for good and not for evil. And I'm going to empower you to do the works that I came to do. And greater works than these shall you do because I'm going to the Father. Yes. Come on, can somebody grasp that tonight? Can you just get hold of that by faith and say, that's mine in Jesus' name? Come on. All right, so in John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking of this counselor, this comforter, coming to lead the disciples in truth. He said he would convict the world of sin and bring God's righteousness into the lives of people. The Spirit in each of us, in each of our lives, this same Spirit. And sometimes we just forget that he's there. Sometimes we don't realize that he's there. We just get busy doing our own thing. Is there anyone in this room besides me who's gotten so busy with the work of the Lord that you've neglected the Lord of the work? Has there come a time when you've done things in your own strength and your own ability and your own power and you've realized, you know something, this is pretty empty. This is really not accomplishing anything. And the Holy Spirit all the time standing back here saying, you know, Mickey, if you'll just let me, I'd love to empower you to do that. If you just let me, I'll give you the words to speak. If you'll just let me, I'll be your counselor. I'll be your comforter. I'll bring you through the trials and the struggles and the issues and the difficulties of your life. And I'll bring life through you. And I'll bring life and victory into your life and into the lives of other people if you'll just allow me to. Amen. You see, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm the vine. Him, no, he's the vine. He said, I'm the vine. You're just branches. You're just merely branches. And apart from me, you ain't going to do nothing. Well, he didn't say it exactly like that. But here's what he was saying. And I've looked at that from time to time. And I thought, well, you know, wait a minute. I can, you know, we can do some things. We know how to organize. And we know how to put stuff together. And we know how to, you know, meet people. And we know how to preach. And we can put some stuff together. We can do, what do you mean we can't do anything without you? Here's what he's saying. Without me, you can do nothing of lasting importance. Without me, you can do nothing of eternal value. Without me, you can do nothing that's going to change the lives of men and women. Without me, you can do nothing that's going to bring them out of their bondage. You can give them a nice soliloquy. You can say some really flowery stuff and do some stuff that you've practiced and you've learned and you've acquired and you've put together. But let me tell you something, my friend. We need the power of the Holy Spirit operating us if we're going to be effective in this last day. Pentecostal, full gospel, reaching the world, demon casting out, ministry. We've got to have His work. We've got to have His power. We've got to have His fire. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The illustration I'll share with you that Bill Bright used to share during the Depression years, a field known as Yates Pool, an oil field, Yates Pool, was a sheep ranch owned by a man by the name of Yates. Mr. Yates was not able to make enough on his ranching operation to pay the principal or the interest on his mortgage, so he was in danger of losing his ranch. With a little money for clothes, a little money for food, his family, like many others, had to live on government subsidy during the Depression. Day after day, as he grazed his sheep over the rolling West Texas hills, he was no doubt greatly troubled over how he would pay his bills. And then a seismographic crew from the oil company came to the area and told him, there might be oil on your land. They asked permission to drill a wildcat well, and he signed a lease contract with them. At 1,115 feet, they struck a huge oil reserve. The first well came in at a mere 80,000 barrels per day. Many subsequent wells were drilled that were more than twice that size. In fact, 30 years after this discovery, a government test of one of the wells showed it still had the potential flow of 125,000 barrels per day. And Mr. Yates owned it all. The day he purchased the land, he had received the oil and mineral rights, yet had been living on relief, government subsidy, welfare. He was a multimillionaire living in poverty. The problem was he didn't know the oil was there, even though he owned the oil. And I say to you, my friend, that's us. That's you and me. God's power is available. That's 24/7, 365. We just need to realize it's there. We just need to believe for it. We just need to expect it to work through us. The Spirit of God is alive in you and I. It is He who's working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Can you say amen? So the power of God's Spirit came to earth on Pentecost. Power can be used in at least two ways. It can be unleashed or it can be harnessed. The energy in 10 gallons of gasoline, for instance, can be released explosively by dropping a lighted match on 10 gallons in a can. How many know what it's going to do? You better run or you will not have any eyebrows left. Exactly. Or you can channel those 10 gallons through the engine of an automobile in a controlled burn, and you can transport a human being and the contents of that vehicle several hundred miles with the same 10 gallons. The difference is explosion or control. Explosion or control. Everyone say explosion. Now say control. Are you with me out there? Explosions are spectacular. We like them. But controlled burns have lasting effect, staying power. The Holy Spirit works both ways. At Pentecost, He exploded onto the scene. Read with me Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Would you do that, please? Acts 2, verse number 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. Didn't say they drove one accord to church. They're all in. Okay. They're all in one accord in one place. Suddenly. Everybody say suddenly. I like those suddenly words in the Bible. Don't you? Sometimes I go through life. I'm like a goose waking up in a new world every day. I'm blonde. Okay. So I just go through life and all of a sudden, suddenly, God will do something suddenly. Something like immediately. Like, wow, where'd that come from in my life? I love that. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting. You've read this. You've preached this. The next verse says, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And they sat upon each other. They enveloped each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Don't you love those four verses? Say, I love those four verses. Amen. Now that's an explosion of the power of the Holy Spirit. He exploded on the scene. Thousands were affected by one burst of God's power. Man. Old Peter, the guy I was telling you about a minute ago. The guy who was denying Jesus, you know, and cussing at the fire when they were trying to, you know, tell him he was one of the Galileans, and he's trying to prove how worldly and how tough he is. So just cusses, you know, big blue streak and all that, and he's denying Jesus. The same guy gets full of this explosion of power, walks out of the room, and starts preaching. And starts preaching about how the people in the crowd have crucified the Lord of glory and hung him on a cross. And you're like, who is Peter? And where is Peter? And who are you? And what have you done with Peter? You know? It's like one of those deals. Who is this guy? What's Peter on steroids? Well, not really. It's Peter on the Holy Ghost. It's powerful Pentecostal Peter. That's who that is. And he preaches. You know the story. 3,000 give their hearts to Christ. That they're pricked in their hearts. The Holy Spirit's convicting them because of this fisherman's sermon. And he's preaching. So that's explosion of the Holy Spirit. And that's an exciting thing. But there's something else the Holy Spirit does in addition to explosion. See, He works both ways. He exploded on the scene. Thousands were affected, but He also works through the church. God began to tap the Holy Spirit's power for the long haul, my friend. And through worship, and through fellowship, and through service, Christians are provided with staying power. The reason we're here tonight in Vassar Full Gospel Church, somewhere close to Mulhall, Oklahoma, somewhere north of Oklahoma City, and south of the Kansas line. The reason we're here tonight is to fellowship, and to love one another, and to serve God, and to worship Jesus, and to hear the Word, so that we might be empowered again. So when we go from this place, we've got the Spirit of God on the inside of us working and moving in a controlled burn. Somebody say amen. Burn, baby, burn. Hey, there you go. A controlled burn. Controlled burn. When we were born again, we obtained this staying power of God to see us through the ups and downs of life. And as the Comforter, the Spirit of God comes to our aid. He remains with us. He calls us to service. He gathers us together as a body. He enlightens us about the truth of God. All this happens day in and day out in our lives. Every day, the Spirit is quietly at work in each of us. We tend to forget. We tend to overlook. That's why I'm reminding you tonight. He's working in you. He's working in me. It's the same Spirit which raised Christ from the dead. If it dwell in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. And I'm telling you, that Spirit is in you tonight. And He's through you and He's working. If you're sick here tonight, I just want to speak right now. And I just want to say, in the name of Jesus, you can be healed and God wants you healed. Reach out and receive your healing because the Spirit of God is working in this room. My Lord, I felt Him when I walked in, but I'm feeling Him even stronger now. I wish you were feeling a little bit of what I'm feeling a whole lot of right up here, right now. Right now. Something's happening. I said, something's happening. God's doing something. He wants to help you manage your business. He wants to help you raise your family. He wants you to help you guide your church and guide your ministry. This Spirit of God is there in all that we do, Bob Williams. All that we do. If it's pouring concrete on a parking lot at Vassar Full Gospel Church and somewhere near Mulhall, Oklahoma, and for the last month or however long you've been pouring that parking lot out there, the Spirit of God's been working through you. And I think we need to thank God for Bob Williams. He poured that thing almost single-handedly outside. Bob is our ministry of helps, disaster relief. You're the man, Bob. And Bob would never tell you anything about it. He would never even let you know he did that. But I happen to know he did it. That pastor was talking about getting it striped. What, Saturday night you striped the parking out here? Whew, just barely got it done for this meeting. And it wouldn't be there had it not been for. But I'm telling you, God is at work no matter what you're doing. Watch if you're digging holes to put trees in. The Spirit of God's at work. Donnie, the Spirit of God's at work. Ron, the Spirit of God. Buck, the Spirit of God. Wayne, the Spirit of God. Listen, He's working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Isn't that exciting? Hallelujah. He allows me to participate in what He's doing. I'm not just a spectator sitting back saying, wow, that's pretty cool what God's doing and what the Holy Spirit's doing. He says, Mickey, come on. I'll let you get in on this, man. I'll let you preach the gospel. I'll let you travel around the world. I'll let you bear the bloodstained banner of Christ to the nations of the earth. I'll let you preach the gospel to ethnos groups. And I'll use you in my kingdom if you want to be used. I'm like, oh, God, choose me. Choose me. I'll go. I'll do what you want me to do. Spirit of God, enable me and empower me and enlighten me and help me to do what you call me to do. I want to participate. If you want to participate with the Holy Ghost, give Him a shout right now. Come on. Oh, bless the Lord. Amen. 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 Woo-hoo. Now, where I preach in Ada, my church, some of our folks are comfortable with amens and clapping and stuff, but there's some of them that don't understand amens, and so for them, I just say, give me a woo-hoo. And so around my place, you may hear a few amens, and then I may make a point, and somebody go, woo-hoo! So every once in a while, I let everybody practice. Let's all give a little woo-hoo. Go ahead, let me. Woo-hoo. Good, good. That's not bad. Not bad at all. Day in and day out, the Spirit is quietly at work in us. He's there with us as we work, as we study, as we interact with others. The Holy Spirit brings His power into our lives in quiet and unobtrusive ways. Several years ago, in East River, New York, engineers were building a new bridge, and they discovered that there was a wrecked ship, the hull of an old ship, sunk many, many years before, right in the way where the piers of the bridge were going to be poured and fashioned. And there's no way they could build this bridge with this ship on the bottom of the harbor. They had to do something. So they tried everything. They brought machinery in. They tried to remove the ship. It wouldn't budge. Nothing would work. So one of the engineers had an idea, an unusual idea. He said, why not have the tide raise the ship? So they took these strong cables, attached them to the hull when the tide was low. They attached the other end of the cables to a tugboat, a barge. As the tide came in, the barge gradually lifted the sunken ship from the bottom of the river, and it was then towed out into the ocean and sunk where it wouldn't cause any future problems. It wasn't an explosive thing. It wasn't a show of strength. It was simply a quiet, unobtrusive way. And God's Holy Spirit is like that tide. He comes in quietly. He comes in slowly. solely, but he comes to give us enough power so we can do the job God has called us to do. The job he's led each of us to do. There's a power, there's a force, and for many it's an untapped force in each of our lives that's the Holy Spirit. And many of us, when we go back to our churches and our ministries, we're going to remember, you know, Pastor Mickey says something about an untapped force. And I've got people in my sphere of influence. I've got people in my church. I've got people in my oikos that don't understand this power of the Holy Spirit that is resident within them. It's my responsibility to speak to them about that and remind them that you're anointed to do this task, to remind them you're anointed to preach and to sing and to teach, and you're anointed to proclaim, and you're anointed to prophesy, and you're anointed to lay hands on the sick, and you're anointed to do your job, and you're anointed to fill teeth, and you're anointed to do medical work, and you're anointed to do carpentry, and you're anointed to farm. You're anointed because the Spirit of God resides in you as a child of God, and we need to speak to that power and speak to that anointing so that God's Spirit rises and the tide lifts us all. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Many times it's not dramatic. It doesn't cause us to do dramatic things, but it's there. I said it's there. It's there to give us the power to live the kind of lives and to be the kind of people God intends for us to be. I've discovered that anointing is there to help me to lead. As a pastor, I'm called to lead, feed, and be an example. To lead, feed, and be an example. How in the world can I do that for anyone besides myself? I have enough trouble leading myself. I have enough trouble feeding myself. I have enough trouble being an example for myself. How in the world am I going to do that, Lord? This is going to have to be you. You're going to have to show yourself strong through me. Holy Spirit, you're going to have to anoint me to do this. And he says, you know, I've been waiting for you to say that, Blondie. I'm ready now. Let's go. Let's get it on. Let me empower you. Let me strengthen you. Let me work through you. Let me speak through you. Let me be all that you need. And are you glad he's all you need tonight? So the nature of the Spirit, he empowers us to point everything to Christ. Not to ourselves, not to our accomplishments, but to the Lord of life, Jesus. The Holy Spirit works with our spirit so that we might experience the righteousness of God in our lives. He convicts us of our sins. He shows us that we're not really as good as we think we are. And then in that realization, we fall on our knees at the foot of the cross and we beg for Christ's mercy. It's that same Spirit who comes with that mercy, with the righteousness of God. Are you glad he cleanses away your sins? Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 declares, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." As many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are who the sons of God are. Show me a person being led by God's Spirit and I'll show you a child of God. And when you're his child, his Spirit will lead you and will guide you. And then Paul goes on to say, you didn't receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into sin. You received the spirit of sonship. And when we cry, Abba, Father, it's the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It is this Spirit that comes into our lives in church, enabling us to preach and prophesy and proclaim God's message of love to all people. It's this Spirit which points not to himself, but to Jesus. It's this Spirit which makes the church, the body, the most unique organization on the face of the earth. I read recently of a minister who's active in his Rotary Club. I've been in our local Kiwanis Club in Ada for years and years and years and years. Served as president, on the board, blah, blah, blah. What a great opportunity, though, to minister to people that are outside my oikos. God's given me a new oikos, a new realm of influence through that club. And there's a guy named Russ who's a minister. And he belongs to a Rotary Club in Indianapolis. At club meetings every week, a member will stand and give a brief statement about his job. When it was time for the preacher, Russ, to give the definition of his job, here's what he said. Listen to this. You're going to love this. He said, "I'm with a global enterprise. We have branches in every country in the world. We have representatives in nearly every parliament and boardroom on earth. We're into motivation and behavior alteration." He said, "We run hospitals, feeding stations, crisis pregnancy centers, universities, publishing houses, and nursing homes. We care for our clients from birth to death. We are into life insurance and fire insurance. We perform spiritual heart transplants." He said, "Our original organizer owns all the real estate on earth, plus an assortment of galaxies and constellations. He knows everything and lives everywhere. Our product is free for the asking. There's not enough money to buy it. Our CEO was born in a hick town, worked as a carpenter, didn't own a home, was misunderstood by his family, hated by his enemies, walked on water, was condemned to death without a trial, and arose from the dead. And he closed by saying, "I talk to him every morning." You know, the church is the most amazing organization in the world. And my friends, you and I are part of it, not because we did anything, but the Holy Spirit called me by the gospel. It's Martin Luther's article of the Creed. Called by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, made me holy, kept me in the true faith. Just as he calls, gathers together, enlightens and makes holy the whole church on earth. And keeps it with Jesus in the one true faith. See, the power of the Holy Spirit was brought into the world this day, this season, over 2,000 years ago, and that power is still present today through us and within the church. It's time to open up to the mind-blowing, heart-warming, life-changing power of God. The power of God, this power, can invade the body, inflate the mind, swell the soul, lift the spirit, and make us more than we ever imagined. Listen to me. It'll make you young when you're old. It'll make you live even when you die. The power and presence of the Spirit will disturb, delight, deliver, and lift. And when God sends forth the Spirit, the whole face of the earth is renewed. Can you say amen to that? When God sends forth the Spirit, chaos is changed into creation. The Red Sea opens up to a highway of freedom. When God sends forth the Spirit, a young woman says, "Yes, Jesus is born," and life is never the same. When God sends forth His Spirit, amazing things happen. Listen to this. Barriers are broken. Communities are formed. Opposites are reconciled. Unity is established. Disease is cured. Addiction is broken. Cities are renewed. Races are reconciled. Hope is established. People are blessed. And church happens. When He sends forth His Spirit. So today, as I close, the Spirit of God is present and He brings us new life. I said He brings us new life. So be ready. Get ready. God is up to something. I said God's up to something. Discouraged folks, cheer up. Dishonest folks, fess up. Sour folks, sweeten up. Closed folk, open up. Gossipers, shut up. Conflicted folks, make up. Sleeping folks, wake up. Lukewarm folks, fire up. Dry bones, shake up. Pew potatoes, stand up. But most of all, the Lord, Christ the Savior of all the world, is lifted up. Are you glad tonight? Come on, let's give God praise. Give Him a hand clap of praise, everybody. Amen. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Hallelujah. He's the Lord of glory. He sent forth His Spirit into this world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's all stand, everybody. Let's just stand and thank God we're not some dry, dead Baptist. Amen. I love you, Baptist. I'm just teasing. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you just take someone by the hand this evening? Father, we're so honored and grateful to be in Your house. We're so grateful to be with Your people tonight. What a joy. What an absolute joy to be assembled here in this place. God, we thank You for the last few moments we've had together to shout and to laugh and to clap and to hear Your voice. But most importantly, Lord, You have been energizing us by Your Spirit, because Your Word is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. We thank You that the Spirit of God is in this place tonight and has anointed the words have been spoken. Lord, I pray that every heart would be changed. I pray we would never be the same. But Lord, Your Word would find a lodging place deep in our spirit, deep in our hearts tonight, Lord. May we be changed by the everlasting, incorruptible Word of the living God. We thank You for Your Word tonight. I pray, Lord, now over every man and woman, over every church represented, over every mission work, over every evangelistic work that's represented in this house. Lord, I pray for every church leader who's here. And Lord, I speak Your blessing now. I come against division. I come against struggles. I come against the powers of hell that have been assigned against these ministries. And Lord, we proclaim victory through the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank You tonight. We will leave this place encouraged. We will leave this place victorious. We will leave this place full of Your life and full of Your Spirit and full of hope in the name of Jesus. And for all eternity, we give You praise and we give You thanks and we give You glory in Jesus' name. Come on, church, let's give Him a shout of praise, everybody. One more time. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Come on, everyone. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. He has done great things. He has done great things. Come on, sing it again. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy name. Let me hear some harmony now. You ready? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Again, I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Are you glad you know His name tonight? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Glory to God for His name. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.